All right, good morning. Hey, welcome to Faith Point Church. We are so glad that you are with us today. Whether you are with us in person or if you're watching online, we're so glad that you have chosen to spend a part of your Sunday with us. We are in a message series this summer called Summer Smarts, where we are journeying through the book of Proverbs, a book that contains 31 chapters that has just amazing practical advice for us to how to lead our lives as followers of Christ. What we've seen over and over throughout this series is that these words are so practical. They speak to everyday life. They help us to discern and to discover how to really be the people of God, the things that we should do and that we shouldn't do, the places we should go and the places we shouldn't go, the things that we should think and the things that we shouldn't think, the things that we say and the things that we shouldn't say. And we have been discovering some amazing things this summer. Well, today we are in chapter 15 of the book of Proverbs. And again, it's super exciting to see you here today. This is our fifth Sunday, and every month that we have five Sundays, we invite our kids and our Kids Point volunteers to be with us in worship. It gives our volunteers kind of the Sunday off, and it gets all of our kids together in worship so that we can continually help them to discover what does it mean to be in the church and how do we be a people who worship so that they can discover how to do that. And so, kids, we are so glad that you are with us today. And as a matter of fact, in just a few minutes, I'm going to invite a couple of our kids up here to help me today because I have, I hope, an illustration that will work out well. But before I do that, I have a question for you, because there has been this theme that we've seen being woven all throughout the book of Proverbs so far. And as a matter of fact, it's actually a theme that we see all throughout Scripture. And so I have a question for you. Did you know that the Bible, even the book of Proverbs, has a lot to say about words? Words. Choosing the right words, choosing the wrong words, choosing our words carefully. As a matter of fact, the Bible helps us to discover and to think about both the words that we use and how we use them. So it encourages us that before we open our mouths, and again, I think this is that's why I think this is so practical, because I think this is one that every single one of us struggles with, that we should be thinking about both the words that we use and how we use them. I have a perfect illustration for this to discover how universal this problem is. So let me just ask you a question, and I want to see by a show of hands, how many of you here today have said something that you wish you didn't say? Raise your hand. And those of you that didn't, you're not telling the truth, right? Every single one of us have said something, right, that we wish we didn't say. Not just the words that we use, but how often have we found ourselves even saying them in a way that we're like, oh, I wish I didn't say it that way. Because it might have come out biting. It might have come out hurtful. It might have just like, literally, I use this illustration that you like puked it out and it came out before you even thought about it, and you just said it and you're like, oh, I wish I hadn't have said that. It's words. The words we use and how we use them is so important for all people. In Proverbs, again, we're in Proverbs chapter 15. So I invited you this week to read through Proverbs 15 and to let me know some of the things that it spoke to you about. And the verse that really jumped out at me is a theme, again, that we've seen over and over. As a matter of fact, I shared some things about words a couple weeks ago, but I decided, since we see this theme again, that it was really important that we talk about words again. So Proverbs 15, verse 1 says this: a gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare. We know that to be true, right? That, again, it's not just what we say, but how we say them. It affects both what people hear and how they hear them, right? That our words can either be awesome and life-giving, or our words can make somebody else's temper flare up and make us turn around and we just want to come back at them, right? So it says a gentle word, and as we think about our words, it deflects anger. But harsh words make tempers flow. Or from the Good News translation that puts it this way, a gentle answer quiets anger, but a harsh one stirs it up. So kids, you guys are with us today. I have an illustration for you guys on this one, right? If your parents tell you to do something, like go clean up your room or, you know, put the dishes in the dishwasher, and you're busy doing something that you would rather do instead of doing what your parents have asked you to do, how many of you guys have just found yourself using no words? Like you just ignore them. Like, I didn't hear you. Or how many of you have found yourself saying to your dad or mom, I'll get to it. And you're like, ooh, okay, that probably wasn't good the way that came out, right? Or, and then they say, I asked you a couple times, could you go ahead and do that? And you found yourself rolling your eyes like they couldn't see that. And you going, whatever. And your parents look at you and go, whatever, right? Not a good way to answer them, right? Right? Or Proverbs 15, verse 4, another verse about words. It says, gentle words are a tree of life. A deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Or from the Message version, kind words heal and help. Cutting words wound and maim. In other words, words have the ability to build people up, to create life, but words also have the ability to cut people down. Words have the ability to hurt people, right? We've all been hurt by words, right? We've all been called names that we wish we wouldn't have been called, right? I remember when I was a kid, I had the measles really, really bad. And as a result of the measles, I had to wear glasses. And they were these big, thick, like nerdy kind of glasses. And I remember getting made fun of when I was a kid. I still remember being called four eyes just because I had glasses. You know, words have the ability to, again, build people up, or they have the ability to tear people down. So that's why it's so important for us to think about both the words that we use and how we use them. Or another passage in Proverbs 15. See, words come up over and over again in this chapter about us being careful about the words that we use and how we use them. Proverbs 15:23. Everyone enjoys a fitting reply. It is wonderful to say the right thing at the right time. Kids, hear me carefully. This is a great verse for you guys, right? Every parent's going, uh-huh. Everyone loves when your parents ask you to do something that you go, okay, like today and not tomorrow. Right? Is really helpful. And so when you give them a fitting reply, that's a good thing. It's a wonderful thing to say the right thing at the right time. Or again, from the Good News translation, it says, what a joy it is to find just the right word for the right occasion. And again, we see this over and over in Scripture of us choosing carefully the words we use and how we use them. In Ephesians 4:29, it just lays it out there for us. Don't use foul or abusive language. And by the way, I'm not going to define that for you because we all, I think, know what it is, right? We all know what it is. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. So as followers of Jesus, as Christians, we're not supposed to use foul or abrasive kind of words. It's just not something that we're supposed to do because you know what? It affects what people think about us. It affects what people think about our church. It actually affects what people think about when we say that we're a Christian and they wonder, so are you any different than anybody else? So we have to be careful of the words that we use. Or James 1:19-20 says, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters, you must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. And so what James is telling us is we have to be so careful of the words we use and how we use them, because that kind of anger that it produces when we use the wrong words or we use the words in the wrong way, that's not a good kind of anger. There actually is a good kind of anger, an anger that moves us to make better choices, an anger that moves us to do something about injustice or problems in a world where we read something or we hear something or we see something on the news and we're like, we got to do something about that. I'm angry about that. And we don't just like it or do a smiley face or whatever, but we actually want to do something about it because that makes us angry. Like, there are things in my life when I read about, I'm like, I am angry about that, and I'm not just going to get mouthy about it. I want to do something about it. I want to make a difference in people's lives. It's one of the reasons I'm fully confident that God called me into ministry, is because I wanted to help people understand that a relationship with Jesus isn't just about getting into heaven. It's really about getting heaven into us so that we begin to experience a new kind of life right now when we come to faith in Christ. Well, I have an illustration that I want to use that I hope will help us to understand just how important it is that we think about the words we use and how we use them. And so I've invited three students to come up and help me. Aubrey, who is in first grade. Aubrey, if you would come up here. And I have also invited Maya, who is in seventh grade, to come up here. And then I've also invited Rebecca, who is in 10th grade, to come up here and help me. And Wendy's going to come up here as well, just to kind of help them be centered up here. So we have a wide range of ages, right? Can you guys do me a favor and say hi, guys? Can you guys say hi, guys? Whatever. All right. So, what is this? It's a heart, right? We all have a heart, right? A heart is about our feelings and emotions, right? It helps us to feel things. Well, what is this? This is toothpaste. Aubrey, I have a job for you. Would you do me a favor? Come over here. And I want you to squeeze as much of this toothpaste out on this heart as you possibly can. And just on the heart. Doing great. Kind of get it all around. Make it look really pretty. He's doing a great job. You getting it? Yeah. Did you bring your toothbrush so you can brush your teeth too? No? Okay. Well, I'll send this home with you, and your dad and mom can like use this for your teeth, okay? All right, you have done a super, did you get it all? Let's squeeze it all. Let's get all of it out in there. Good job. Would you all give her a hand? Good job. All right. So, you can step back over here. Did you know that toothpaste is a lot like words? It's a lot like words. Because toothpaste is pretty sticky, isn't it? Look at this. It sticks here, right? Kind of like words stick to our heart, right? When somebody says something to us that isn't very kind or isn't very nice, just like toothpaste sticks to our heart, it sticks, those words stick to our heart, right? And so sometimes when we know that we use the wrong words, what do we want to do? We want to take them back, right? So Maya, why don't you come over here? I have a spoon for you. Here's a spoon. And here is the tube of toothpaste. Would you do me a favor and try to put that toothpaste back in here for me?
Yeah.
As much as you possibly can. Let's get back in there. It's a little tough, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you want to try the funnel?
Sure.
Do you think that will help? All right, let's try the funnel. Let's try this one. Here, I'll put it right on there for you. Is it working? It kind of doesn't want to come off the spoon either, does it? Okay, so spoon doesn't work very well, does it? Right? All right. Can you guys give Maya a hand? Say good job. Thank you. Rebecca, come over here. Because Rebecca is a sophomore in high school. That means she is so smart. So I brought you a spatula. So here's your spatula. Here's your toothpaste. Could you put as much of that back in here? If you want to, yeah. Yeah. You can use the funnel and put as much of that in here. You're going to need to do all by yourself because I'm just going to hold this for you, okay? put as much of that toothpaste in here as you possibly can. But please don't make a mess of my table, okay? Or in your shoes. Oops. What's happening? It is not going in there. Well, why not? Well, because it's sticky, right? So, that's a good try. Can you guys give her a hand? Just go ahead and put it down. You guys did an awesome job. Here's why it didn't work. Because the words, the toothpaste already came out, right? You can't put it back in, can you? We've all tried that, right? When you put too much toothpaste on your toothbrush and you're like, I wonder if I can get it back in there so you don't waste it. But you know, words are just like this toothpaste, that once they come out, you can't put them back in, right? Just like when words come out of our mouth and they hurt somebody and they stick to their heart, we can try to scrape them off, right? With words like, I'm sorry. I wish I didn't say that. Oh, would you please forgive me? And you just have a mess sometimes, right? And you know what that teaches us is that even though we say we're sorry, they still stick to our heart. And so it's hard to take the words back once we use them, right? Which tells us we have to be so careful both with the words we use and how we use them. And you know what? The Bible has a lot to teach us about that. So we're going to talk more about that. Can you guys say thank you? Give them a little hand. Would you hand me that? Thank you very much. And as a matter of fact, today when you leave, you're going to get a tube of Word toothpaste. Because we're going to talk about that. That's going to be a reminder for you how words are like toothpaste. I want you to look at what King David said about words. King David, who is David? He slew Goliath, right? King David was the guy who took a rock and a slingshot, and he killed the giant, right? King David wrote these amazing words in Psalm 141, verse 3, that simply he asks God to take control of what I say. He says, take control of what I say, O Lord, and guard my lips. That was a king who said that. A king who scripture says was a man after God's own heart. So if a king who was a man after God's own heart would pray and say, Lord, guard my lips, take control of what I see, is something that we should probably do too, right? Take control of what I say, O Lord, and guard my lips. So I came up with an acronym that we're just going to hit this because what I want this message today to be is something so incredibly simple, so memorable, that it will be easy for all of us to remember so that before something comes out of our mouth, we have thought about what we've said and we've thought about how we say it so that we hopefully will not let the words come out before our thoughts have actually processed them. In other words, we will think before we speak. And so this acronym that I came up with is simply this: think calm. Can you say that? Think calm. That we should think calm before we speak. Say it again. Think calm. And each letter, I'm going to give you a simple word that hopefully kids, you will remember this really well. And adults, I think that we have to actually remember it more because I think that we do this as much, if not more even, than our children. And so to think calm before we speak, because the Bible tells us that we should be careful about the words we use and how we use them. I love how James 1:19 actually from the Message gets retranslated, and I love how it says this. Look, check this out. Lead with your ears, follow up with your tongue, and let anger straggle along in the rear. That's a good way to think about it, right? Is that lead with your ears, listen first, think about what you're going to say, then say it, and let anger strangle along the back. In other words, don't let anger get the most of you. So before speaking, we should ask ourselves, what am I about to say? What am I about to say? Letter T. Is it true? In other words, is what I'm about to say, is it a fact? Or is it really an opinion or a feeling? We need to know and be clear before we speak. So we should ask ourselves, what I'm about to say, first of all, is it true? Look what Philippians 4:8 says. It says, fix your thoughts on what is, say it with me, true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. So we should think before we speak, asking ourselves, is it true? And the more Scripture tells us this, the more we think about things that are true, actually the more true things will actually come out of our mouths. So the more we think true, the more true actually spills out. So before we say something, we should ask ourselves, is what I'm about to say, is it true? Letter H, is it helpful? Now, we need all of these. Don't pick one. We should think calm, the whole thing. Is it helpful? In other words, does it help you or someone else or maybe a situation? We ask, do I need to say that, right? Is it so important that I'm going to help somebody and so then I should say it? Now, we have to think about that first, right? Because often we think what we're going to say is going to be helpful when if we thought about it, it's not really going to be helpful. So we should think, is it helpful? Ephesians 4:29 says, let everything you say be good and, say it with me, helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. So think calm. First of all, is it true? Second of all, is it helpful? Is it going to help somebody else or help a situation? Letter I, is it inspiring? Is it inspiring? In other words, is what I'm about to say, is it encouraging? Is it motivating? Does it build somebody up instead of tearing them down? Does it improve on the silence? In other words, what I'm going to say, is it going to lift the other person up or help the situation? Again, we see in places like 1 Thessalonians 5:11 that says, encourage each other and build each other up just as you are already doing. Y'all, I believe that the world needs to see Christians behaving better. And part of that is, how are we encouraging and lifting up and motivating and speaking good words, both to one another and to our world at large? So is what we're saying inspiring? Again, think calm. Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Letter N, is it necessary? Is it really necessary? Or would the whole thing be better off if you never said anything? Is it really that important for you to say something? Again, we find things like in Proverbs 21:23 that says, watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut, and you will stay out of trouble. I should have had that one posted up when I was growing up. I was the kid on the report card where the teacher said, George won't stop talking in class. I was the one who said, George can't sit still in class. I was the one who said, George needs to keep his hands to himself. Because I was that kid who was always talking, who was always... And you know the problem was? With last name of Wasson, where was I in the class? The back of the room. Teachers, that is not a good place, is it? Like, for people like me who talk too much, put them right up in the front. So that you can do that. That look, right? That teachers have so well. It's like, it's time for you to stop talking. So in other words, so we have to decide is what we're going to say, is it really necessary? Watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut. A couple weeks ago, we came across Proverbs 10:19 in our series that simply said, too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. There's practical stuff in Proverbs, right? Super practical. So think calm. Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? And the K, is it kind? Is it kind? In other words, is what you're about to say, is it motivational? Does it build somebody up? Does it improve a relationship? Are we speaking truth into someone's life? In other words, for kind, is it just nice? Are we being kind with one another? There's so much vitriol in our world, right? There's so much bantering and negative talk back and forth between people. And I just think we got to figure out how to stop all that. Again, it doesn't mean that we don't speak truth, but we got to figure out how to do it with kindness, right? We got to do it with kindness. Over and over in places like Ephesians 4:32, the Bible commands us. This is an imperative. That means God says, do this. It says in Ephesians 4:32, be kind to each other. That is not a divine suggestion. We should be kind to each other. So we don't only need to be careful about what we say, think. We also have to be careful about how we say what we say. In other words, before speaking, we have to ask ourselves, how am I about to say it? It's a lot we have to think about, right? And I think the more that we do this, the more it's going to become more second nature. But to start thinking differently is going to change some of our defaults. It's going to change how we've automatically responded to people, that we have to take a moment, pause, and then speak. I remember going to a conference, this lady, she was one of the speakers. She was one of the chief product development officers for Apple. And she came in, and she had her iPhone that she was carrying with us, because for some reason we think we always have to have our electronic device in our hand or in our pocket. And so she has this with her. And one of the things I noticed about her, and I think she was so good at it that it really made me see it and to hear it, was that when she was being interviewed on stage, after every question, there was a pause. A pause. There was time that it was like if I could see her brain, I could almost see everything go. So she could think about what she was going to say and how she was going to say it before it just came out. And I remember being so just like blown away. Because then when she talked, for those of you who are old enough to remember this expression, when E.F. Hutton talks, people listen. Because it's well thought out. It's appropriate. It's timely. So before speaking, we need to ask ourselves, is how I'm about to say what I'm going to say, is it calm? Letter C. Is it controlled? Are we controlling what we're going to say, or are we going to let what we're saying have control over us? The New Testament book of James has a lot to say about controlling what we say and how we say it. Check this out. James 1:26 says, if you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you are fooling yourself and your religion is worthless. Ouch. Or how about this one from James 3:6? Among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It can set your whole life on fire. And by the way, the context here is not in a good way. So we have to control what we're going to say. Or one more, James 3:3 says, for if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. That's pretty incredible, right? If we could actually control what we say and how we say it, we could be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. So there is so much power in our tongue, both what we say and how we say it. We think calm. Before we say anything, we take control of what we're going to say instead of letting what we're going to say take control of us. That's the letter C. Letter A, we ask, is this appropriate? Is this appropriate? The way I'm saying it, is it appropriate? Psalm 15:23 says, everyone enjoys a fitting reply. It is wonderful to say the right thing at the right time. We already looked at that, right? It is a good thing to say the right thing at the right time. Or again, we already looked at Philippians 4:8 that commands us as the people of God with these words. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Because you know what happens? When we think that way, then what comes out is that way. So the more we fix our thoughts on the things of God, the things that are admirable, the things that are good, the things that are pure, all this, the more that good stuff is going to come out. Like, I'm just old enough to remember when computers were really starting to come into, like, I had a manual typewriter when I was in high school. For you guys that don't know what that is, ask your parents. And so I remember, like, when we were looking at computers and programming, there is this expression of garbage in, garbage out. That whatever you put into that thing is what's going to come out. Well, that's like a perfect picture for us. We put garbage in, garbage is going to come out. If we hang out with people who speak garbage into our life, both with the words that they use and how they use them, with the attitudes that they have, y'all, we do become like the people we hang out with the most, right? We've talked about that over and over here. And so we have to ask ourselves, is what I'm saying, is it appropriate? Or do we get testy? You know, we often are also prone, we might be saying the right thing, but we might be saying it wrong, right? It might be what needs to be said, but the tone with which we say it, or the attitude with which we say it, or the body language that we have, whatever, right? That's not what we want. Right? So we have to decide, is it appropriate? Proverbs 15:28 says, the heart of the godly thinks carefully before speaking. The mouth of the wicked overflows with evil words. So again, think calm. Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? And is it kind? Have you controlled what you're saying? Is it appropriate what you're saying? Letter L, is it loving? Is it loving? Again, this is practical stuff. When we look at Proverbs, Proverbs was written for the people of God to give them very practical advice on how to live. This is practical stuff that we're talking about. And I know that some of us are here, whether here or watching, you might be thinking, oh, I know all this. Well, so much of this we know, but we don't put into practice, right? So it's a good reminder. I think that's why Proverbs says over and over and over and over and over again, watch your words. That's what just keeps jumping out at me. So is it loving? 1 Corinthians 14:1, I love how the New Living Translation puts it. It just says, let love be your highest goal. In other words, when we're interacting with people, let love, not some emotive, touchy-feely thing, let just true, authentic love be your highest goal. So when we're responding to somebody, are we responding in a loving tone? Are we responding with loving words? It's the right thing to do. Hebrews 13:1 commands us, keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. And of course, you remember that old campfire song, maybe some of you do, that you sang when you were in youth group. It was a song that we would sing, and they will know that we are Christians by our love, by our love, and they'll know we are Christians by our love. Our love gets spilled out as we speak it. So calm, is it controlled? Is it appropriate? Is it loving? And the last one, the letter M, is it merciful? Merciful is one of the most powerful words that we see in Scripture. It ranks up there with grace. Grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. Mercy is God not giving us what we do deserve. And that's why I think it's such an appropriate word, letter for this last one, for calm. Because when people give us junk, what do we feel like we owe them? Junk back, right? I mean, it's really easy for us to say, you start spilling out your stuff at me, I can ramp it right back up with you, and you actually, I might even think you deserve to be talked that way too. That's not what Scripture says, that we should be merciful. So I chose this one very carefully, that again, we are supposed to not give people what we think that they might deserve when that's messed up in our thoughts. We got to think carefully about what we're saying and what we're not saying, of how we're saying it and how we are saying it. When we're merciful, we own the fact that just as Lamentations 3:23 says God's mercies begin afresh every morning, ours should too, of how do we interact with other people. Whatever you left it off at the office one day, when you come back the next day, God's mercies are new every day. So should yours be. Whatever you left at school the day before, however the interactions happened, when you come back the next day, God's mercies are new every day. So should ours be. So that we can hopefully work towards healthy, whole relationships, right? Psalm 103, verse 8 says, "The Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love." Over and over again, when we see these kinds of things in Scripture, as Christians, we're supposed to be the same way. So just as the Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love, we should be too. As a matter of fact, in Matthew 5:7, it says, "God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy." God blesses us when we are merciful to others, when we don't hold on to it, when we, in the words of that famous movie, we let it go, right? That we're just merciful. We believe in starting afresh. We believe in starting anew, right? Again, James 2:13 drives this home a little harder, a little deeper with this. "There will be no mercy for those who have not shown mercy to others." Okay, let's read that one again, because that one's super, super important. It actually says, "There will be no mercy," I'm sorry, "for those who have not shown mercy to others." So clearly, being merciful is a good thing. So let's review. David invites us to pray the same kind of prayer that he prayed. "Take control of what I say, O Lord, and guard my lips." That might be a really great passage for many of us when we're driving to work in the morning, when we're sitting at our desk, when we're talking on the phone, because many of us are working remotely. Whatever we're doing, we might need to post that up somewhere and say, "Hey, Lord, could that be mine today? Take control of what I say and guard my lips." That before we speak, and even as we are speaking, we should think calm. Is what I'm about to say or currently saying, is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? And how is what I am saying or what I'm about to say, is it calm? Is it controlled? Is it appropriate? Is it loving? And is it merciful? The Bible has a very simple rule when it comes to what and how we speak. And we find it in Luke 6:31, that we know it as the golden rule. "Do to others as you would like them to do to you." Do to others as you would like them to do to you. So one more time, the words that we use and how we use them is super, super important. Because words can either create life or they can destroy it. Words can build people up or words can tear people down. Words can move towards health and healing or words can move towards devastation and destruction. So we should think carefully all of us. I'm speaking and I'm hearing myself as I do this because I don't do this as well as I need to do it either. Thinking about the words that we use and how we use them and how is that impacting our witness for Christ. It's a good word for us to think calm. When you guys leave today, I have for all of us, a card that has the acronym on it, to think calm, because you might want to post this up in your car, in your house, somewhere, and then I have this wonderful little gift of Word toothpaste. It's actually Crest, but it's just a reminder. It's a reminder for us that words are sticky. And isn't it easier if we think about them before they come out so we don't have to deal with this? Practical words from the book of Proverbs. So this week, I want you to read Proverbs chapter 16. And I want you to see where God is speaking to you. If this is your first time and you haven't done any of this, that's okay. Jump right into Proverbs 16 because you don't need Proverbs 15 to understand Proverbs 16. Because Proverbs has been described as this kind of buffet of hors d'oeuvres of godly words that we can just pick up right where we are and see where God might be speaking to us so that we might truly be the people that he has called and created us to be. And I'd love to hear from you. Where has God spoken to you? What's jumping off the page for you? And let's make it practical. Our faith needs some real practical living these days. Let's pray. Lord God, Father, I pray that you would help us to take the words that we are thinking of saying and to filter them. Lord, I pray that you would take the words as they are about to come out and filter them so that the words we use and how we use them would bring honor to you, that we might be good representatives of you, our Lord and our Savior. Help us to choose our words carefully. Help us to think calm, recognizing that our words should be true and helpful. They should be inspiring and necessary and kind. That our words, they shouldn't get control over us, but we should control our words so that they are appropriate, so they are loving, so they are merciful. God, we want to be good witnesses for you in this world that is falling apart. And so, God, I pray that you would use us, that we would truly be great spokesmen and spokeswomen for you, that the world would know that we are Christians by the way we love, because of who we love, and that would direct all of our days. So God, help us to be good filters. Help us be good witnesses to the end that your kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven. Use us in every way possible that the world would come to know you. We pray this in Jesus' name.